WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Rush for our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You get a quick second and you're on Twitch and you happen to have Prime Gaming available. Well, you can click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free for 30 days. That's right, 30 days, which means you can enter 2021 off right. You can subscribe for free to this channel and get that subscription ready to go for the new year, because it's coming, guys. We've almost thrown off the yoke of 2020, and it's so awesome. And speaking of checking things out, well, you need a last minute holiday gift, you need a stocking stuffer, you need to get it there, go to manscaped.com. well, not right now, preferably after the show, but if you have tabs, you can go right now and go select a very fine product that they have. And if you use the code WTRLive, you can get 20% plus free shipping. So go check it out, manscaped.com. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I mean, it's 2020 and tabs do exist.
I don't know what exists anymore.
We do, right? We do. We exist.
Do we?
Yeah, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter. You come to wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or twitch.tv/WTLM and interact with us during the show, because we got some stuff to get into tonight.
We do. Just as a programming note, this is the last live show of 2020, guys. Next week and the week after will be pre-recorded. We will be dropping that on Thursday for you. So Jingle All the Rack and Pop Goes the Rack, as we celebrate into the new year, those will be pre-recorded for your listening pleasure, and you can do that whenever you like. But we're gonna go celebrate the holidays in style, especially New Year's, because fuck this year.
So a couple other programming notes. This will be the last Thursday episode of Fortnite with friends for the same reasons.
Yeah, for the same reasons. Yeah. We're not playing Fortnite with friends on Christmas Eve, and we're not playing it on New Year's Eve. I'm really, really sorry, guys.
That's not.
I'm just super sorry.
So I guess we should, for the other.
For 2020, yeah. We'll still be around on Saturdays, but in terms of the two Thursdays, we're not doing Fortnite with friends. We're not doing a live show because.
Holidays.
We're both going to be with our families. We're both going to be celebrating. I'm not going to be sober. So.
There's that.
There's that, which reminds me, should I be drinking during Among Us?
Oh, speaking of Among Us, there's no Fortnite with friends on Saturday.
Because we're doing a holiday party chat, we're getting the network together, and we're all going to play Among Us. Pray for our souls.
We're doing the WTR Among Us Christmas party on Saturday night.
Hey!
It's the working plan for Saturday, if all goes through.
I know I've got my stuff set up, so we'll see if everybody else can get it set up. But yeah, this should be exciting.
It should be fun. If people bail on us, then we'll go back to Fortnite. But if everyone comes like they should, we're going to have fun Saturday.
I hope we have fun. This should be interesting.
It should be interesting. So you can look forward to that. But you'll have Fortnite with friends tonight after the show.
Ding!
Speaking of the show, coming up later in the show, we will have our tables, ladders, chairs, and fire preview.
Because there's fire. It's okay. All right.
But I
don't know if people are going to rage, but...
Nah, I don't think people are going to rage on Saturday.
Are we playing it with proximity chat or no?
No. Let's get everyone to play the game once before we...
Oh, damn. I wanted to play with proximity chat.
I can let you be the one to instruct people how to do it, so...
No. No, because I'm thinking I'm actually going to stream it.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how it goes. But yeah, coming up later shows, tables, ladders, chairs, and fire. But let's say we get into news presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Yep. So just a few news items, nothing really majorly huge per se. But we do have a couple big stories, and we're going to start with the first one, which is that ROH is having a little issue. They had to have some of their talent pulled due to COVID-related problems and diagnoses and whatnots. And so they will not be at the show this weekend to perform. Those talents include Bandito, EC3, Flamita, and Kenny King.
Out of all we know, EC3, he has COVID-19. But he's confirmed it, but he's doing okay, so that's good.
Yeah, he and his family are doing okay, because unfortunately his parents got it as well. So best of luck to them as they recover from COVID and COVID-related issues. Just as a programming note for SmackDown, it's going to be on FS1 this week.
Yep, because of the Pac-12 championship game on Fox, SmackDown moves to FS1. So the two times a year they move, this will be number two for the year.
Ding! For Impact, Ethan Page is leaving Impact at the end of the year. His contract is expiring, and so he's looking to pursue other opportunities elsewhere. So best of luck to him as he moves on in his endeavors.
You can't move the Pac-12 game because of contracts.
Yeah. Anyway, sticking on Impact, Impact is holding their second ever Celebration on January 16th, so look out and sign up for that whenever you like.
Right before their next pay-per-view, Hard to Kill, which will be that weekend as well.
There is no news on Lana.
No.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we're going to get into it in the preview. We'll get deep into that one.
But that's a perfect segue, Ash, because let's do the Blame Brents.
All right, we'll do the injury roundup. If it would, there we go. Injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, in a rather, I'm gonna say, mysterious injury, one Cameron Grimes is gonna be out for six to eight weeks?
4 to 6 weeks. He just went undergo surgery for something. So, something.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Must have been all that rocket fuel to get to the moon. We hope he feels better. But that probably explains why Timothy Thatcher, ripped his knee off his leg.
Yeah, that was exactly the reason.
So, best of luck, Cameron. We hope you feel better. Continuing on, straight up, Steve Austin is getting a second season. And he has a very interesting list of celebrities, I can speak, that he's going to have on the show.
Brett Favre, Steve-O, Charlotte Flair are among those going to be in the new season. Of Straight Up Steve Austin, I believe it's airing January 11th, right after Monday Night Raw.
I kind of miss it. I was thinking, ironically, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, God, I really actually kind of miss that show. And when I mean the other day, before they announced it, because I was like, it's really stupid. I'm going to be completely honest. It's an interview show where he gets together and they just do stupid fun activities, but it's an interesting way for him to do an interview. Because it's different from the podcast sessions. And I feel like when he's moving and he's active, he's a little bit better doing the interviews. Because they're having more of a conversation.
Different environment. It's not in the studio environment. It's out and about.
Yeah. And the person that he's interviewing is typically more relaxed because they're doing something. So they're distracted. So they kind of let their guard down a little bit. So it's coming back. We'll see how it goes. And you're excited about this one because there's a WWE Battlegrounds update.
2K announced today that Hall of Famers Ric Flair, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, Diesel, and Razor Ramon will join WWE 2K Battlegrounds roster alongside several current WWE superstars, setting the stage for a multi-generational battle. The roster update starts Wednesday, December 23rd, includes 14 new WWE superstars and 2 new arenas. Superstars include Ric Flair, Sheamus, Montez Ford, Sting. He's unlocked, along with a holiday arena. On Wednesday, December 30th, Diesel, Razor Ramon, Angelo Dawkins unlocked, and the Winter Bear Arena will be available. Wednesday, January 6th, Bret Hart and Sami Zayn unlocked. Wednesday, January 13th, Chad Gable and Akam unlocked.
Oh, poor Akam.
And the 20th of January, Roddy Piper, Fandango, and Razor unlocked will be available. You go to www.2k.com/battlegrounds for more information. Follow them on Twitter and all that fun stuff for more and more updates.
So check that out when you have time. And last but certainly not least, in terms of the news, it's been announced that R-Truth will be hosting the Slammies, which air I think
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday?
Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern.
So everybody check that out. You can still vote at WWE.com, I believe. So please go vote for the first 5 or 6 categories at your leisure. And pray it doesn't screw up and show you who's winning like it did for me on the first day.
You know, that sort of thing. But there's one story we forgot to put in the news that I remembered.
Mm.
Congratulations need to go out.
They do.
Cody and Brandi Rhodes announced on Dynamite she's pregnant.
That's so awesome for them. I'm really genuinely happy because I think this has been a long time coming for them. So it's really great that they're having their first kid together. I hope everything goes swimmingly for her and it's a smooth, easy pregnancy. And they have lots of happy years with their bundle of joy.
Ash, knowing WWE, probably not.
No, it's going to be absolute chaos, I can assure you, in terms of the 24/7 stuff. But yeah, so congratulations to Cody and Brandi. It seems like... I kind of predicted this when the whole quarantine thing started, that we were going to see a lot of pregnancies and a lot of babies in 2020, because what else can you do when you're in the house pretty much all the time, except that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... congratulations to them. And with that, I say we do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So it was an interesting episode of NXT this past Wednesday night, that's for sure.
Wasn't opposed to it.
No, not at all.
It wasn't the most star-studded episode, but they definitely did things. I think my favorite thing that they did was they announced that for New Year's Evil, the host is going to be Dexter Lumis.
Yeah.
And then they showed him and he's just sitting there at a table, creepily staring at the camera in a spotlight. I'm like, oh my God, this could not be more perfect.
Yeah, throughout the night he was painting something. And it was the logo.
This is going to be so good because the entire night, it's just going to be Dexter staring into the camera.
So NXT opened up with The Way, Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory with Candice and Indy taking on Kushida and Leon Ruff.
This is a good match. I enjoyed this.
Yeah. Austin and Johnny got the win.
Very solid little opener. I mean, not a lot to report back other than Johnny Gargano, The Way. Really? Sir.
What?
The Way. This is The Way.
It was The Gargano Way. Now it's just The Way.
He's ripping off The Mandalorian. He's so ripping off The Mandalorian.
Well, you know, let him have his fun, will you?
I'm not taking away his fun. I'm just saying, sir.
Shotzi mocked the trophy that Candace has, that Johnny got for her.
I mean, it is just a little cheap.
Yeah.
But still awesome, but it's just a little cheap.
Yeah. Tommaso Ciampa took on Tyler Rust. Tyler Rust proved some stuff tonight, or last night.
Yeah, he did. He held his own against Tommaso Ciampa. He looked good. It was a quick little match, and interestingly enough, drew out one Timothy Thatcher. He's still thinking about it.
Thinking.
He's considering his options. He's trying to decide if he wants to swipe left or right on Tommaso, so we'll see. There's a lot going on there.
Then we had Malcolm Blevins told the dude he was a star, and well, they seem to be working together.
What happened to the tag team that Malcolm Blevins was managing?
We're not going to get into what happened to the tag team. Just not going to get into it.
Oh, wait, that's right. Right. Never mind. Anyway, continue.
Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunne go. Number one contenders, man. Before you had Drake and Killian show up and Breezango and all that. A lot of chaos to start. But the match. Holy crap.
I would take 5 more of these and be completely happy. I mean, go Kyle, go. I mean, I had my doubts about the Kyle O'Reilly solo run just because he's been a tag guy for so long. And whenever they try to break tag guys out, somebody always gets left behind. And I didn't want that to happen for either Kyle or Bobby. And so, like, I'm happy that Kyle's taking off. I'm happy that he's doing well. I hope they find equal success for Bobby Fish. But, yeah, this is... Kyle's out there proving some stuff right now, which we all knew. But he's definitely out there holding his own.
And he's number one contender now. I need your help. Explain the this week's cinematic with Zion Boa.
I don't know what the hell's going on in this. Somebody's, like, again, getting their kinky fantasies out with these people. Because you have the mysterious veiled lady sitting on her throne watching this whole thing. You have the old dude who's yelling at them. This is like some kinky fetish porn thing that we're watching. And then you have Xylee and Boa. Right? And you see Boa, he's all bloodied up, she's crying, and then we pan back and we see that the reason why he's all bloodied up is because she's beating the shit out of him. And they're making her beat the shit out of him, and she doesn't want to do it. Like, and of course they cannot show the flip side of that at all.
Nah.
Right? Because the flip side would be him beating the crap out of her, and that's just not going to hit TV.
No.
No pun intended there. But if this doesn't end with them becoming the two most badass people in NXT, I really don't understand what this is all for. Like, it's cool. It's very different. It's just, I'm going to say confusing, because you just cut to it and you're like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, I just don't even know. I mean, if you're into it, that's great. Not kink shaming at all, but it's just very strange, even for me. And I'm into some weird shit. So... case in point, Bray Wyatt. But I can't get on board with that. I just can't. I'm trying, but go them, I guess. I don't know. That's all I got. Moving on.
We had Shotzi and Indy 1-on-1. Shotzi got the win by disqualification when the trophy got involved.
Yeah, somebody took a trophy to the head.
And then Candice laid out Shotzi afterwards, so you know.
It's a nice little setup to get you to Shotzi and Candice. They're building to that, probably for New Year's Evil. So I'm here for it.
We had the return of Karrion Kross.
Mom looked good.
He destroyed Desmond Troy.
I mean, dude's been like working out, man. Which you would expect, because that's all you see of him on Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is they're putting him right back where he was.
He challenged Damian to a match in New Year's Evil.
Which I'm okay with.
Mackenzie interviewed Isaiah Swerve Scott, who's pissed off about losing to someone like Jake Atlas, and they have a rematch next week. And then Ever Rise showed up screaming Ever Rise rules.
I don't understand Ever Rise.
Is Ever Rise rules supposed to be like O'Doyle rules? Maybe.
I guess. I don't know. I okay.
Finn was talking about the upcoming match. And it's not Finn, it's not Balor O'Reilly 2, rather it's Balor O'Reilly the end.
I mean, you hope it's the end, and you hope the end isn't him walking out with your title.
I mean, yeah.
Or him knocking those screws out of your jaw.
I mean, yeah.
And let's all be real. Kyle came real close to taking it home last time.
It's going to be a real physical New Year's Evil.
I'm very much looking forward to it. Like, again, they had a great match last time. It's going to be equally as good. I would imagine they're probably a little bit less rough with each other.
Mm-hmm.
at least with the face. We'll see about everything else.
We'll see. We'll see. Main event, Tony Storm, Rhea Ripley.
God, give me about 20 of these. And I know, they've wrestled before. They wrestled all up and down NXT UK. It doesn't mean it's not good. Holy shit. And then Raquel Gonzalez just showed up and ruined everything. But that's fine. I'll live. Because they're very clearly pushing to Raquel and Rhea, which I'm not opposed to. I think it's a good place for Raquel to build up because I don't think they're quite ready to point her at Io. And honestly, I think Io is just a little banged up coming out of War Games. So they're probably giving her just a little bit of a rest because I don't think she's been on TV since War Games, right? She wasn't on TV last week.
Then I don't think she's been on TV other than maybe a video package.
Maybe, but yeah, she hasn't appeared on TV. So I think they're giving her just a little bit of a break to heal up kind of thing, along with a couple other people that really, really, really got messed up because Dakota Kai's out hurt, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would imagine that's what's going on. So they're giving Raquel Rhea Ripley to kind of cut her teeth on, and Rhea will be a good program for her because mm-hmm. you can just have them beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
But this was a quality main event. This was very good. I enjoyed this a lot. Again, we'll take 20 more and be happy with it.
That's NXT.
That's NXT. So I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week. And we're going to be talking about tables, ladders, chairs, and fire. That's right, chat. There's fire. So you don't want to miss it. You're seeing the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City! Bitch.
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're gonna put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/rackradioshow. Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs., available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is Angelina Love, your six-time knockout champion and the sacred seductress, and you are doing the right thing because you are listening to the Rack Radio Show.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we'll go ahead and use that here if you like. Just click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you could subscribe for free for 30 days. So do that, and while you're checking things out, while you're doing things, while you're buying things, that kind of thing, you can also go to manscaped.com, get that last minute holiday gift, because, well, Hanukkah's almost over, Christmas is coming up, guys, Festivus, Tuesday, whatever, if you need a gift, go over to manscaped.com, use code WTRLIVE, and you can get 20% off free shipping, and free shipping, I should say, on anything in the store, so check that out. And with that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, it's been a busy week at work for me. I really didn't have time to favorite any tweets, but, and also people weren't really that funny. But I do have one tweet that I want to share, and typically we do not promote things on this channel, especially for other channels, but this is important, and I would invite you guys to check it out. Starting on December 19th at noon central on Dr. Lupo's channel, he's doing his third annual Build Against Cancer stream, where he will be streaming for 24 hours to raise money on behalf of St. Jude. Last year, he raised over $2 million. This year, he's going for an equal goal of $2 million, I believe. But he's not going to be alone this year. He does have some help. So it's going to be Dr. Lupo for the majority of the stream, but taking the overnight shift because, well, he just can't do the overnight shift anymore, which is fair. He's going to have DJ Wheat, Jordan Fisher, Bloody Faster, Andy Mission, and more, so go check that out. Again, you can donate all 100% of the proceeds go to St. Jude. He doesn't keep any of the money. He's not being paid to do this. He does it all on his own, and he has some pretty sweet prizes if you enter.
Yeah, for the raffle.
For the raffle, he's doing a raffle. So yeah, just to kind of give you an idea of what the prizes are, because they ain't cheap shit. He's giving away I believe, 2 or 3 NZXT computers. I'm stalling so I can find the raffle prizes. Here we go. So here are the prizes. Items for raffle. 100 Logitech gaming streaming gear sets. This includes Pro Wireless mouse, Pro Wireless headset, a keyboard, a blackout mic, and a charging mouse pad. There are 3 NZXT Starter PC Pros. There is 1 NZXT Dr. Lupo Custom Wrap Gaming PC featuring an Intel 10900K and an NVIDIA RTX 3090.
Which are very rare.
Which are hard as hell to find right now. 5 NZXT Krakens X53, 5 X63 Krakens, and 5 X73 Krakens, 10 Intel i9-1090K CPUs, 1 Samsung G9 49-inch curved monitor, 2 Samsung G7 32-inch curved monitors, 1 PSSD T7 Touch 1TB drive, 1 980 Pro 500GB drive, solid state, and 2 970 Evo Plus 1TB drives, solid state. You get 3 custom chairs from Secret Labs that are in his branding. You have King's Coast Coffee. You have swag bags. He has 1 PS5 console to give away.
You can't get anywhere.
You can't get anywhere. He's giving away custom razors that he's gotten as part of a sponsorship. He's hooked up with 2K this year, and he has an influencer kit for 2K NBA, 2K PGA, 2K WWE, and plus a bunch of codes for those games, including BL3, XCOM, CIV, and BioShock. And then he's got some other influencer kits as well. So go over to his Twitter, go over to his Twitch, not right now, but whenever you have time, to check out the prizes. Just to let you know, every $10 that you donate gets you an entry for the raffle. And so if you just want to donate $10, you can. If you want to donate $100, you can. It's up to you. But like I said, 100% of the proceeds go to St. Jude. He does not keep a dime, and his sponsors do not get anything, and he's not being paid for it. So I invite you to go check that out. Again, December 19th, starting at noon central.
There you go.
And that's all I have.
Kayla Braxton. One lone mosquito in my house has bitten me on my face, twice on my arm, and on my ankle. I finally killed him, and I felt a little bad, but at least he died with a full belly.
Okay, for a second I was like, where the hell is she that the mosquitoes are still alive? And then I'm like, right, she's in Florida.
And chair shot, Greg. So if every game were a title match, the Philadelphia Eagles are your current reigning, defending, undisputed NFL World Heavyweight Champions. Here's how. Chiefs won Super Bowl 54. The Raiders beat the Chiefs. Buccaneers beat the Raiders. Saints beat the Buccaneers. Eagles beat Saints.
Dude, the Eagles should get a trophy just for beating the Saints.
So ladies and gentlemen, your undisputed NFL World Heavyweight Champions are your Philadelphia Eagles. Woohoo!
Because that's as close to the championship as they're ever going to get.
Hey, it's not like it's been like Cowboys level of not winning that championship. It was only a few years ago for the Eagles. I mean, let's be real.
Oh.
Just saying. Anyway.
TLC.
Let's get to TLC presented by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com. Use code WTLife. Save 20% off and get free shipping on all your holiday gifts right now. Manscaped.com.
Ding. So, honestly, I'm going to be completely 100% honest. This pay-per-view snuck up on me. I didn't realize it was Sunday until, like, Monday. So there's that. So let's get into it. Raw Tag Team Championship as the New Day takes on the Hurt Business for the titles. No Stip.
But we've seen this match a couple times in the last month. Let's just be real. We've seen it. We've seen them in singles matches. We've seen them in tag matches. We've seen them defend the tag team titles. We've seen the tag team titles matchup be restarted because the finish got screwed up. We've seen it all. We've seen Cedric Alexander be the one to sort of dominate for the team. The other Shelton's struggled a bit. So can the Hurt Business, 3 syllables, as we've learned many years ago, that's how you say business. 3 syllables, get the job done at tables, ladders, and chairs.
I feel like they've been building this. I feel like they've been pushing towards it, and it kind of makes sense. Even though New Day are great tag team champions and they will win them 1,000 times over again, I have this hunch that it's going to the Hurt Business because they've been very, very specific about pushing them at these titles.
It does seem like that. It seems like they want to push them in a way where the Hurt Business has gold. Like, that's sort of what they're trying to do. Lashley has his title, and now you kind of need to legitimize the rest of the group. I mean, MVP's there as the loud mouthpiece. He doesn't need championship gold right now. But the other two, if they're not fighting for the belts, there's really no purpose. And like the Hurt Business has sort of, we've broken away from their retribution thing. And we've seen how that's gone for retribution. And then it's like, what else would they do if they don't win the belts?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, like you said, where they've lost a step, they've lost their direction. This is a very common problem where a lot of stories don't have an end game in sight. They don't have a direction. They're just sort of drifting and listless. And the Hurt Business, sadly, are one of those groups that they had a great start. They had a very hot start. They kind of put Bobby up towards the title. Bobby lost. And then they kind of put him in the U.S. title hunt, and he had a feud with Apollo Crews for fucking ever.
The whole group did.
The whole group did, yeah. But it was one of those things that they kind of took that step down after Bobby lost the world title match. And then he got the U.S. title, but ever since Retribution, where they were like, oh yeah, we're going to totally deal with them, and then they totally didn't really deal with them at all. They've just been drifting, and they've been lost, and they've very recently just been remotivated and have been directly pointed at New Day. So I'm going to say they have to kind of win here. Nothing else, because they need it.
That's a good word, need. Does New Day really need the tag team titles to be something on television?
No. I mean,
they don't. They don't. New Day doesn't need the belt to be legitimate. They've won them multiple times. We know who they are. They can just appear on television and they are seen as main eventers.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm kind of curious if they aren't going to drift New Day apart, get the titles off them, and drift them apart into their own solo gig. And bring them back together as they need to as a tag team. But it's like they split E out and they're not really doing a whole lot with E.
They gave him new music and he now has his chalk again. So he's going for the Intercontinental title. That's where E's headed. But it's a slow process.
Yeah, I know. I just don't want to get stuck there. But it's like I feel like they could do the same thing with Woods and Kofi, where they kind of maybe have Woods and Kofi drift out of that tag team and go for their own gold and go for their own solo goals, similar to what they did with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, because there's money there in Kofi and there's money there particularly in Xavier, whose really sole success in WWE has been New Day. I think it's all three of their brainchilds, but I think he's really the driving force behind it, just from a creative standpoint.
He wants to be King of the Ring.
I feel like they should give that to him.
The WWE thing would be to book it, put him in it, lose in the finals. That would be the WWE way of doing it.
That would be the WWE way of doing it. But I can see them doing that. Because, unfortunately, again, the tag division doesn't really have a direction. There's nobody really competing for the tag titles. It's just sort of there. It's an afterthought. Because they're pushing other things right now. Like, I don't know. Unless you're going to have Retribution suddenly decide, hey, let's go for the tag titles.
Which they probably could. And that way you can have a three-way feud, New Day, Retribution, Hurt Business, that could add some intrigue.
It could, but I feel like this is Hurt Business's match to lose. New Day can always pull it out, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they do, but I feel like just to give some sort of legitimacy that they need, that the Hurt Business is probably going to pick up the titles here.
Yeah, I'm going to go Hurt Business. It's that feeling you get. Feels like their time. Hey, Magic 8-Ball, will the New Day retain on Sunday? It says better not tell me. I 8-Ball, please tell me. Tell me, will the New Day retain? Please tell me. Tell me. It is certain. Okay. Hey,
Wheel?
Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 2.
So that's the Hurt Business.
Interesting.
What's next?
I'm going to skip what's next.
Yeah, I know.
Because I want to talk about it at the end.
That's fine.
So up next, the SmackDown Women's Championship, Sasha Banks is taking on Carmella for the title. No stip.
Regular match. We saw what happened on SmackDown where Sasha and Carmella battled in the main event for the title. She had her helper, I guess. I forget the name. Sommelier, I think it was the term they used for the helper. Get involved. Sasha
manservant.
Manservant, whatever you want to call it. Sasha retained via DQ, but Carmella left the boss in a world of hurt. It was too soon for Carmella to lose right away to Sasha, so it makes sense to end in, like, have it end in disqualification. That was Carmella's first match in months. That was for the title, which says something.
They clearly believe in Carmella because they've put this huge thing together where they did the Mysterious Woman video packages. They've given her a new big entrance. She has the sommelier manservant person. Like, there's a lot going on there where they are clearly behind her. They're clearly trying to rebuild her. I don't know. I'm here for them re-legitimizing Carmella and making her a threat because I think she's incredibly talented. I don't know about the gimmick.
Okay. The gimmick, the way she talks on Talking Smack makes the gimmick sound better. When she was on TV, where she's more scripted, it's just okay.
To me, the gimmick seems very stupid. I'm sorry, there's just no other way to put it. And what it reminds me of is it's that diva era character that they always strive to have.
Yep, that is exactly kind of what it is.
Because the promo packages were all about her getting dressed and her being naked and all about her body. It wasn't about her talent. It wasn't about her wrestling ability. It was very clearly created, produced, and put out for the male or female interested audience.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it's just something that you sit there and you look at it and you're like, okay, but can she go? Like, that's the question, especially in the environment that we're in now where the women are expected to perform at a much higher level because, let's all be honest, WWE's women's division is probably second to mostly none, maybe Japan. It's hard to say.
I mean, NXT has the best women's division in all the land right now.
So my concern isn't necessarily over her body. My concern is over her skills. And I know what Carmella can do. I know she's incredibly talented. But there's just no, it just feels like there's no, I'm going to say substance to it. And I'm kind of waiting for them to give it substance. And I don't feel like a title is going to do that.
Here's the problem. She should not be fighting for the title.
It's too soon.
It's way too soon because she hasn't been in the ring in months. So her getting the championship opportunity right off the bat hasn't established the new character in the ring just yet. If she went on a winning streak for a few weeks, where it's like she took out X, Y, and Z of the women's division, then it's like, yeah, she definitely is, as she says, untouchable. We've run into the problem of the road to WrestleMania.
It's looming.
It is looming. And they need to have speed bumps in the way. I believe the end goal is Sasha and probably Bianca. One would assume that's the direction we're going for WrestleMania. You just did the Bayley feud. You edited it on SmackDown. So it's too soon to go back to it as a title match on this pay-per-view. You can go back to it at the Rumble if you need to, but I would try to find new challengers still. So now you gotta go through the second tier of talent, which SmackDown needs some help with because they don't establish enough second tier talent. You have talent. You have the Riot Squad. You have Carmella. You have Natalya. You have enough talent there. You just got to give them opportunities. Because you've put Bianca with Bayley, which will help elevate Bianca. I think they're fighting tomorrow on FS1 on SmackDown. I believe that's a match, Bayley and Bianca. So sign me up for that one. I'm going to be there watching it live as it happens because it's awesome. So we're building to Bianca and Sasha clashing. So you got to get there. Carmella's in the way. Carmella gets her shot. So if her end goal is there, Carmella doesn't win here. That's the way I see it. Sasha will go over Carmella, and then they can rebuild Carmella from there and hopefully legitimize her as a challenger for whoever comes out of the WrestleMania season with the belt, if that makes sense.
I feel like you could have, honestly, you could have had this be non-title.
Yeah, but they don't do that.
I understand that, but you could have had this be non-title because then what you could have done is have Carmella get the win over Sasha.
Which they
whether it's clean or not.
Which they could have done on SmackDown instead of calling it a title match.
Yeah, but you have Carmella get a win over Sasha, which then allows her to go for the title potentially at like Rumble, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think she's going for a title at Rumble. I think she's in the Rumble, but I don't know. I'm very confused about the character. I'm not sure what they're doing with it. It's just kind of one of those things that it feels like they're putting the really like all the effort on the front end and then they're going to be all behind it for like a month and they're just going to drop it because that's what it feels like. That's honestly what it feels like, that they're not going to have the follow through on this because they have no follow through set up. It's just like they're throwing you out there with this big brand new gimmick in the hopes that it gets over. And when it doesn't, or when it doesn't perform like they want it to, it's just, they're just going to drop it. But we have to pick a result.
Sasha.
Yeah, there's no.
Hey, Magic 8-Ball. Will Carmella win the title? It is decidedly so. Hey, Magical Wheel of Fine, who wins?
Wrestler 2.
Which would be Carmella. All right, what's next?
So up next, we have the Women's Tag Team Championship on the line as Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler take on Asuka and a mystery partner. This is after Lana got quote-unquote injured on Raw and is unable to compete, which they gave us the payoff for this storyline.
1 minute and 40 seconds.
In which Lana beat Nia Jax clean in a minute and 40-something seconds. I don't know what to think about this, because again, we talked about this on the Raw Post Show. You spent the better part of 2 to 3 months.
If not longer,
but actively 2 to 3 months.
I'm saying if not longer, it's more 3 to 4 now.
I know, I'm trying to be generous.
I'm not. I counted all 9 weeks of table things.
Fine, 4 months. Of actively pursuing this storyline, of Lana being bullied, of Lana being picked on. You put out the documentary in the middle of this that basically talks about her mental health issues. You have done all these things to get Lana over as an underdog. All these things, right? The crowd actually was behind her at one point. I think after like 3 or 4 table shots, we were all like,
please stop.
Please stop. Please stop. She's already dead kind of thing. And then they kept going and they kept going. And then there was the whole Survivor Series things, which I'm just going to call it what it was. It was stupid. It was fucking stupid. Okay. I understand what they were going for, which is Lana being the sole survivor. But you know what? Having her luck into it after you have her stand on the steps for 20 minutes in her smeared lipstick just was not the way to go about that. You want to have Lana be the sole survivor and win the match, you have her get in the match and beat Bianca Belair. Even if it's just she rolls her up, you have Lana get that win. And she stands tall as the sole survivor, but having her just stand there looking like a doofus, no, that was not the way. At least to me, that's how I feel about it. So we go through all that. Lana continues to luck into wins. She hooks up with Asuka. Asuka wants to be her friend. And they go against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And that's the other thing, is the entire time Lana's being put through tables, nobody in that women's locker room gave a crap.
Until Asuka showed up
and she's like, I'll be your friend. And they were having some success. They were doing well together. It was actually a very good pairing, a very enjoyable pairing. And, you know, they were going up against the bullies. And, you know, they built up to the point where it was going to be Nia versus Lana, which was assumingly going to be at Survivor Series in the form of the tag match.
TLC.
And then all of a sudden...
TLC.
And then Monday, they're like, oh, hey, or last week, they were like, oh, hey, yeah, we're going to do Lana versus Nia right before the pay-per-view.
Huh. 1 minute and 45 seconds later, Lana wins. She beat the bully in a minute and 45. 15 weeks of... She doesn't really do much to her... Getting confidence in 2 weeks, and oh my god, she wins in 1 minute and 45 seconds.
And then she gets destroyed.
Yeah.
She gets beat and pummeled into the ground by Nia and Shayna to the point that she's injured, and she cannot compete on Sunday, which means that somebody is coming back.
Maybe.
Or they're bringing somebody up for NXT, or they're doing something else, and the plan changed, and they pulled Lana out of the match.
So, there's the name toss around this. Woo!
Charlotte also, Flair, in case you don't know who that is.
Yeah. Also, the way they set it up on Monday was Mandy Rose as the other partner. But then that's breaking up the Dana and Lana team, the Dana and Mandy team, which...
Is okay. It really a team at this point?
I mean, yeah, they were trying stuff.
I mean, the
right choice would be like paying Royce to stick in there and have her like get away from Lacey. And because Charlotte don't need no tag title.
Can I just? Well, one, has she ever held them?
Oh God, no! Damn, that's probably.
Just to secure that triple crown championship or quadruple crown, I think, or grand or whatever it is.
Grand slam, it would be.
Grand slam. Can I just rant for a second about Peyton Royce and Billy Kay? You had a very successful pairing in those two. You had a wonderful team in the Iconics. They were marketable. They were everything you could ever want. They were over as shit. You break them up, you move them to separate shows, and then you put them in tag teams with somebody else.
Well, Billy's not in tag teams. You had to find a partner.
Yet.
Though I will say Billy's act is... I'm glad they haven't changed Billy. Her being her is still the best. Have you seen my resume? It's fantastic.
Anybody can get it over. It's Billy Kay.
Like, and the best part about the resume that she's showing off, because there's a picture of floating around, there's misspellings in the resume. It's the best.
You know, like you do, because spell check's not a thing. Yeah. But yeah, so I think it's fairly safe to say that whoever the mystery partner is, if it's Charlotte, Asuka and Charlotte are winning the titles. Straight up. No.
I don't know about that one.
What are they doing? They're not doing anything with Nia and Shayna. Nothing. It's pretty much run its course in terms of stories, because they're not going to have them bicker. They're not really doing anything in terms of them becoming a stronger team. They're done telling that story. They did like 2 to 3 weeks of them being snippy at each other, and then they're like, oh, hey, look, we won the titles. Now we're BFFs. And that's what they've been doing. They've been coasting them for a while because of the Lana stuff, and they've been coasting them through that. And them the only thing that's really holding them together at this point are the tag titles. You're not going to bring Charlotte back if it is Charlotte. Just working off that hypothesis, it is Charlotte. You're not going to bring her back after a very lengthy absence and have her lose. You're not going to do that. Now, the other thought is that she comes back at Rumble, which she could. But if it's not Charlotte, if it's not Lana, who is it?
Say it's Mandy. Man.
I don't want to see that.
No, because Nia and Shayna would win. I'm feeling like the mystery partner's a red herring. It's like, hey, we're going to do something, but we're not really doing something, and Charlotte's return's going to come Monday, since, you know, we're panicking. We're in panic mode. We're going to push the panic button on Monday, right before the holidays. We're just going to push the panic button.
Well, the panic button is Vince comes out. That's when you know they're panicking, as Vince shows up.
But they're going to push the panic button on Monday, so they're going to bring in Charlotte Flair on Monday, and they're just going to push the button to just panic, panic, panic. I'm thinking, here's how I see things going long term. I see being Mandy or someone on the lower end to team with Asuka. They lose. Nia and Shayna hold them on till the Rumble. They lose at the Rumble to the Riot Squad. That way you can now break up Nia and Shayna. They can lose the titles early, then be put into the Rumble later, and they can have their big square-off moment leading to their feud going into the road to WrestleMania.
You know who else it could be that we're not thinking about that hasn't been on TV in a hot minute?
Becky Lynch. It's going to be Becky. She just had a kid. She's ready to go. She's ready to go. She just popped the kid out. She's 3 weeks later. Let's go. Pop, ready to go.
Honey, she hadn't even stopped bleeding yet.
Who?
Naomi.
No.
No?
I don't think it's Naomi. Unless, it could be.
Because, like, here's the thing. She's got the past with Asuka in terms of being a tag team partner.
But I'm gonna cut you off for a second. Health is the key. Because she had that thing, and that women thing that she had to deal with. And
but is she better? I don't know. Like, I don't know how she's feeling.
The last thing I heard was something about staying away while COVID's going on. So, I don't know. That's the only reason. I mean, it could be. Her saying one thing, saying I'm not coming back for a while is, you know.
She's pregnant.
Not pregnant, just, you know, trying to fool everyone. Like, you know, hey, I'm not coming back. Surprise, I'm back. That sort of thing.
I'm trying to think of what other red herrings can be out there. Nikki Cross, but that doesn't make sense because she's feuding with Alexa.
But no, they kind of broke that away. It could be Nikki because she has the past, or she could be.
I'm going to alternatives to Mandy, and it's like, it's kind of slim pickings in terms of, like, who's there.
Okay, back on November 30th, Naomi tweeted, yeah, as soon as this Rona is over, we can come back. Miss you crazy fun guys. That was someone asking, can we come back? So, I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
We'll see.
JoJo's on the Raw roster.
Well, she has been for a while. They haven't removed her.
I know. I just find that funny. For reasons. Anyway, I don't know who to pick.
I'm going Nia and Shayna, because I want to move on to other matches.
Alright, I'll go with that.
Hey, Bob, will the Nia and Shayna retain? No.
Oh.
That's just a flat no. Magical Wheel of Fun, what do you say?
Wrestler 1.
Which are the champs?
So up next, we have the Universal Championship on the line in a TLC match as Roman Reigns takes on Kevin Owens. And I'm just going to say this right now. If there is ever a match for two people to scream at each other, this is it. Because I would actually be down for Roman to kind of do that screaming thing that he does. Because here's the thing. Kevin will scream at him back.
Kevin will. Kevin indeed will. Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens have been battling the last few weeks on SmackDown. Roman made it clear that he's the one, you know, putting the food on Kevin's Owens family table. You know, that's a thing.
Does he just have, like, is he, like, just bitter because he's, like, on top? Or, like,
yes,
what?
Yes, he's the man and everyone has to respect him for being the man.
But everybody already did respect him for being the man.
I mean, the fans didn't.
Well, the fans don't really matter in that instance. But, like, he had, because he's not fighting the fans. He's fighting the locker room and his family, and he's abusing and subjugating his family, which is just not okay. Like, seriously, when does abuse become abuse? You know?
That's a good question.
In terms of Jey Uso. But, like, he had the respect and admiration of everybody in the locker room and in his family. And that's why I guess I'm trying to understand is he wants the respect and admiration, but what he had wasn't good enough.
It wasn't like, good. It wasn't good enough for him. He needs more. He feeds off of it.
What, he wants a dick suck every time he walks in the room? Like,
bomb, 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 bomb. Bom,
well,
bom,
I mean, bom. You know, his little 3D graphic is him just, you know, sticking it out there for everybody, so,
He does his, ooh-ah.
But, like, I guess I'm trying to understand, like, because it was cool, they turned Roman heel, and it was like, okay, we're, alright, they're finally gonna do a thing, they're finally gonna have Roman be heel, and they're gonna have him have that chip on his shoulder of everybody booing him, but it's like, I guess I don't understand him demanding the respect from the locker room and from his family, because, dude, you already had it.
Yeah.
And I know I keep saying that, but that's the case. It's like, you already had it. So why are you getting so bogged down in this shit of, like, with your family? And I understand you wanted to give Jey the shot, but I still maintain that you could have built that over time until Jey and Jimmy are like, dude, WTF, and they walk away from him, and then Jey and Roman have the fight, or Roman and Jimmy have the fight, or whatever, where it's like Jey truly challenges Roman's authority in the family, and Roman's got to put him down. Like, I still just don't understand why they went for that first in terms of the story, because now he's moving on to Kevin, and he's kind of doing the same thing to Kevin, where it's like, you know, I'm the reason that you have a job, basically, is I put food on your table. And it's like, well, not necessarily. Kevin's doing pretty well for himself, and he did pretty well for himself while you were gone for months. So
okay.
And honestly, while you were gone, at least the first go around, not during COVID, because Kevin was in and out during COVID, but like when Roman was out with his cancer situation, which is understandable because he was sick, Kevin kind of carried the show a little bit.
So as far as this match goes, this is gonna be really good.
This is gonna be awesome.
It's Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns in a TLC match. The sad part is we already know the winner.
It's going to be Roman.
Still reigning, undisputed Universal Champion Roman Reigns.
I think they're going to do things. I think they're not going to play nice with each other. I don't think Roman's ever done a TLC match before, so this will be interesting.
I think he has.
Has he? Did he do one in the Shield?
Yeah, their first match was a TLC match. But it wasn't climbing.
That's right. Seth concussed himself.
Yeah, well, I think it was a pinfall, though. It wasn't a climbing one.
Yeah, because Seth went through the table and he hurt his head.
Yeah.
But this is his first solo, I believe.
Maybe.
Because I, from what I remember, they didn't necessarily put him in too many dangerous situations as a solo performer.
Maybe.
But anyway, even if it's not, I can't remember one. That's why I'm saying.
Because this is me going, maybe. I'm looking.
Maybe, maybe not.
Looking.
Googling.
Hey, that's why we don't pay him the big bucks. King Corbin beats Roman Reigns in the tables, ladders, and chairs match at TLC. That's why we don't pay him the big bucks.
Ah!
Thank you, intern.
That's why I don't remember it. That's exactly why I don't remember it, because it wasn't memorable. No offense, Baron Corbin. Anyway, moving on, she says.
Eight ball. Will Kevin Owens beat Roman Reigns? Outlook not so good. Anyway, you still wouldn't officially make a pick.
Roman.
Wrestler one.
Roman. I'm going Roman because, yeah.
Roman's holding that title clear past WrestleMania. I am just saying that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's going to go through WrestleMania as champion because he's fighting Goldberg at WrestleMania.
Yay! As long as it's not Bray.
He's going to beat Goldberg.
Although, I don't know. Goldberg could politic his way to another title. He could do that. He could completely cuck Roman like he did Bray. Just saying.
You don't put food on my kid's table. I put food on my kid's table. Boom, boom, spear.
It's the battle of the spears.
Sheamus and Roman, they also had a DLC match.
Again, why I don't remember it, because it wasn't memorable. No offense, Sheamus. Anyway!
Someone on the show does research. Someone on the show. Anyway, I'm officially going Roman, just so he can note that down.
He chose the concession stand. No.
No.
WWE Championship TLC match, because it's the second one. This should be interesting as Drew McIntyre takes on AJ Styles with Omos in his corner.
For the first time ever,
let's all pray that AJ does not rip a hole the size of Texas in his tights this go round.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to put this out there. I know everyone loves Drew McIntyre, but if we're concerned about ratings and who the top guy is on that show and who you're centering around. Yes, I know we're in a COVID era, and yes, I said this about 6 weeks ago when he lost the belt to Randy Orton. It was a good thing. Putting the belt back on him really quick was not the best thing. Sorry, it wasn't. It really, really wasn't, because Drew needed to chase somewhere. You gotta get... Raw's missing that baby face that you can get behind right now, and you can kind of get behind Drew, but he's already the champion. Raw needs that guy you can get behind to really drive the show. And you don't have that. You don't have that driving baby face, which is what is missing number one from the show, a baby face you can get behind who is like an underdog. Drew has never been an underdog. Not against, he really even wasn't one against Brock. He's not an underdog since he came back. He's a dominator since he's come back.
Now they gave him a sword. Underdogs don't have a sword.
So if you want to know why Raw doesn't get the ratings that Owens does, because it doesn't have the character, you need to drive ratings like a Daniel Bryan. Or even a CM Punk.
You invoked that name?
I did. Because CM Punk, for a while, the Summer of Punk era, was the guy you could get behind when he turned from heel to face. That rebel, he was the guy the people responded to. Raw needs a character that people respond to in an underdog fashion. That's why people got behind Steve Austin, because he was the rebel, the anti-authority. People got behind it. This is a rant about people complaining about Raw. Not about this match, because this match is going to be good. We all know Drew's probably going to end up winning, because they're not going to put the belt on AJ.
They could.
They really could. And that was the whole point. Going back to what I was trying to make the point of. I mean, AJ on top with the belt wouldn't be the worst idea. Flip-flopping the belt wouldn't be the worst idea, because it gives Drew a reason to chase into the Rumble, whether it's in the Rumble match or into the title match. It gives him a reason to chase. That's sort of the crux of this whole rant. Take over, because I'm just spinning in circles.
The other wild card in this that got brought up Monday and is looming out there is The Miz and the Money in the Bank. And that makes this match really, really, really interesting, because Miz has it. They're continuing to tease the cash in, which is really smart. They're making him a threat without necessarily having him look like an idiot, while having him look like an idiot. It's very complicated. He's very good at it.
Yeah, Miz is awesome.
Miz is awesome.
Speaking of Miz, check out the Rock Extra Reviews. Miz and Miz is now available for download at rockradioshow.com. This is season 2-ish finale.
The thing is that you need that driving character to love, you need that driving character to hate, and honestly, as good as AJ is at doing that, nobody can do that better than The Miz in that company. Nobody. The Miz can make you want to punch him in the face in about 2 seconds, if that.
Yeah.
He's just that good at it.
He's that good at being irritating.
And I feel like, especially if you're going to have Drew chase, The Miz is the better character for Drew to chase. Because you can have Morrison be the foil for Miz, and he can get beat up for Miz. You can have Miz out there running his mouth. You can have them out there, you know, doing the sketches, humiliating Drew, that kind of thing, doing what they do best. Because The Miz has been turning in some of his best work as well,
mm-hmm.
really since the COVID era kind of started, because he's in one place, he's rested. I think he's stimulated, and he's one of those people that, again, he was carrying when a lot of people went out. He was there. So I don't know. I kind of almost want to see Miz cash in and take the title from both of them. I know they teased it, and I know they talked about it on Monday, so therefore it's not going to happen. But the cash in has to come soon, unless you have him hold it till WrestleMania and you have Miz win the title at WrestleMania. Is it in LA, or are they going back to Tampa?
Nobody knows.
Like, here's the thing. Here's the really interesting thing, right? So WrestleMania, I think, is supposed to be in LA this year.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get it all worked out. If not, I think they're going back to Tampa. But the flip side to that is Miz has the money in the bank. Miz lives in LA. That would be about as close to winning the title in your hometown as Miz could ever get. Because Lord knows they're not going to take WrestleMania to Cleveland. So that could be the other flip side of it, is if they go to LA, they have Miz do the cash in a la Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, and he wins the title at WrestleMania and walks out with the title. But you have to do the cash in soon.
You have 4 months left.
But those are going to fly by, especially with WrestleMania coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene's going to be dominated by Rumble and Mania. By the time you come out of that, they're going to have no time to cash it in. So it's got to come within the next 2 to 3 months, with Mania kind of being the last ditch effort, unless Miz is the one that never cashes in. He waits too long, which is very uncharacteristic. I can fucking speak for him.
So who you got?
I don't know.
I'm going Drew.
I'm going to go AJ, because he has the Omos factor, and Omos will play a factor in this match. As much as I love Drew, if they're panicking about the ratings, Drew's not the way.
Magic 8-Ball, does Drew retain? Don't count on it. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Which is AJ Star.
So we'll have to see. And last, but certainly not least, and the reason why I saved this for last is because we're probably going to go on this the longest. In one corner, you have Randall Keith Orton. In the other corner, you have the Fiend, Bray Wyatt. And surrounding the ring, you have...
puppets.
Well, yeah, you have puppets. But you have fire. Because we're fire. Doing a Firefly Inferno match.
Okay. So this goes back to a conversation me, Lindsay, and Brent had the other day. I don't remember who brought it up. Someone brought up Inferno match.
I think that was me.
I think it was you. Because we said there was no stip on it. We were having a conversation. I think Lindsay brought up Inferno match. The intern will correct us if we got that wrong. But, and then today, like mid-afternoon, they announced it's a Firefly Inferno match, and went, wait a minute, we were just talking about that. Wait a minute.
Mole.
There's a mole among us, and he's very sus, and he's the one not talking. So for those who haven't been paying attention, this feud started many moons ago when, Randy Orton burned down the house and left the family, because he was a part of the original Wyatt family.
I'm not arguing with you about this again for the billionth time. He wasn't, by the way.
He was. So, they picked it back up when Bray Wyatt was drafted to Monday Night Raw. And that's when they first started teasing the feud back early October, right after the draft. That's when it started. So, about 6, 7, 8 weeks into this thing. There was a week or two where they kind of moved away from it. But they picked it right back up after Survivor Series. There's teases. There's small little teases throughout. If you paid attention to the television program, you would have paid attention to all these teases. And now they've ramped it up to go as far as Randy Orton burning Bray Wyatt, dumping the gasoline on the thing and lighting the match and go poof, burning Bray Wyatt and the Fiend appearing out of the ashes. So that should have been our first hint of something with fire. Thank you, WWE.
They say they can't do storytelling.
The only way this matchup is going to be bad, if there are bugs.
I just have a really strong sneaking suspicion that this is not going to be live, that they're probably going to pre-tape it and air it. They technically could air it live, but Inferno matches are rather tricky little things. And it would probably be safer for everybody if they didn't go 20 minutes in fire, if they were even going to go 20 minutes. I would say, adding on to your little story, I would argue that the incident at the compound, of which Randall is directly responsible.
He is. He's responsible, which is why he left the family at that point.
I'm not arguing with you about this. Left an impression on Bray Wyatt to the point that you could
argue that that's one of the reasons that the Fiend was born.
I mean, there's been a painting on the Firefly Funhouse wall from the beginning of it.
Yep. They've referenced the symbol multiple times. They've referenced the fire multiple times. And the Fiend's whole MO, the whole story that they're telling with Bray, is that he's going through his past feuds. And he's getting revenge on everybody that's wronged him that he can get. There's a couple out there. Actually, about three. No, two. Because he got one. He got seen at Mania. There's two out there he's not probably ever going to get, which are Mr. Hardy and Taker. Those are the only two he can't get, just because one's in another company, one retired. But that's not saying that they can't have Bray do something to Taker and lay him out or some crap like that. And he gets his revenge that way. Anyway, Randy is kind of that crown jewel in that revenge story for Bray because of how much Randy wronged Bray, where he lured him into a false sense of security. He alienated the family. He destroyed the family. He broke it up. He destroyed the compound. And then he took Bray Wyatt's title from him. And he really sent Bray Wyatt down this path that he never recovered from. Bray Wyatt's career and his personal life spun out of control after that. And he was off TV for... He was on and off TV after that. He ended up in a lake. He lost his shit for a while. And then he disappeared. And he was gone for, what, 8 months? 9 months? Almost a year. Something like that.
Yeah, good amount of time.
He was gone for a while, and that's when we saw the Fiend and the Firefly Funhouse and everything. That's when we saw it. So, Randy Orton's involvement in all of that is really a crux in Bray's story. I think the choice of an Inferno match is interesting, because, one, it's apropos.
It is.
Good job. Somebody saw an opportunity. They took it. Well done. And two, normally... The person wearing the most clothes loses these matches.
Yep. Randy's winning. Because Randy's been on the receiving end of Fiend attacks lately. So this one gives Randy the edge. Unless, and this is a big unless, right? Randy wears pants.
If Randy's wearing pants, one, you know shit's about to go down. Two, yeah, there's a distinct possibility that Randy's losing because he's wearing more clothing, and he could.
Because I think this would be the first... If Randy's not in full clothing, this would be, like, the first Inferno match where someone's not wearing, like, an outfit of some sort. Usually you got the guys wearing outfits. Undertaker Kane, Brian Kane, etc., etc. They're always wearing clothing that could just happen to be set on fire. Lindsay, for 18 months, would love Bray's pants to be set on fire.
Well, I mean, technically they are, but...
But, I mean, you would let them burn because you don't like them pants.
Oh, the stripy pants? Yeah, no, I hate those pants.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they just happen to burn up in the fire, I mean...
I will say this. I promise you Ramblin's probably getting set on fire. I will absolutely 100% say that. I'm trying to remember who all's been in one, because they've all involved Kane. This will be the first one that doesn't involve him. So it was Taker. They got him to do it twice. There was a Human Torch match between Sting and Vampiro.
That doesn't count. Undertaker beat Kane. Taker beat Kane. Hunter beat Kane. Kane beat MVP.
Yeah, that's what I was remembering. I was trying to think, because Hunter wore trunks.
Hunter was wearing his long pants gimmick at that time.
Oh, was he? Okay.
I believe. I think. Maybe. I don't remember. Hold on. Looking.
Yeah. Hold on.
Was he wearing the silver and black tights at that point? No, he may have been wearing regular.
Oops.
Maybe.
Because that was 99?
Yeah, he was wearing tights. Yeah, he was wearing tights.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
No, he was wearing his trunks, I should say. Yeah, the trunk tights. So no, he was exposed. So what did Kane's hand got set on fire.
Various pieces of Glenn Jacobs have been set on fire over the years. But anyway, that's not the point.
Point is, Monday we all thought Bray was winning. Now it's more up in the air.
If you have to have the Fiend lose, I think lighting him on fire is an appropriate way to do that.
He's not being pinned, he's not being submitted, him just being set on fire is not a real loss.
So, and that just gives him motivation to come back at Randy, and they can go for something bigger at the Rumble, because this is I would suspect this is going to Mania.
I don't think it's going to Mania, but it's going to Rumble.
Because I think Bray is either going to get his revenge on Randy, or Randy's going to be that one that gets away from him. And Bray's going to continually have to hunt Randy so you can continue to go back to the story between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you always have that feud there. But at the same time, if Bray does get his revenge, then that just means that Randy can come back at him later. Like, basically, they're building that career-long feud for Bray Wyatt with Randy Orton. Similar to, you know, Kane and Taker, Hunter and Rock, yada, 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 where they always have that dance partner that they can go back to if they need to. They're doing that for Bray and Randy. I don't know who to pick, because it's like, hold on, I need to look at the rules.
It's an Inferno match. First person gets set on fire wins. Or first person to set their opponent on fire wins. That's the rules. That's an Inferno match.
I know that's the rules, but are those the rules they're going with?
Yeah, that would be the rules.
Well, no, because they introduced the Ring of Fire match, which I think Kane got pinned, didn't he?
Wait, yeah, they did.
That's why I'm like, I need to know which steps or which rules they're going with. Because
I would assume they're going with Inferno rules. I assume. No one knows.
Where the hell are the TLC pages?
Shows, TLC, preview.
WWE, your website is shit. Hold on.
The Fiend has changed every man. Can the Legend Killer walk through the fire? Will the fire burn Orton for his past transgressions?
It doesn't give me the rules.
It doesn't.
Okay, I'm going to split this, because we don't know the rules. If it is a traditional Inferno match in which one person gets set on fire, Randy wins, okay? If it's in a Ring of Fire match, or Ring of Fire style Inferno match, where it is pinfall submission, Bray's gonna kick his ass. And Ramblin' either way gets set on fire. But without knowing which set of rules they're using, I can't make a pick.
You can make a pick. You're afraid to make a pick. They're two different things.
But I think it's fair to say that without knowing which style match they're doing, you can't make a pick. Because there's two different outcomes.
I mean, here's a third outcome. It could be like Fortnite. You have a glass of fireflies and you have to throw them up or someone set someone on fire.
If they can figure out how to rig that, I would be all for it. In which case, Bray wins.
That would be amazing. I'm going with Randy because of the step, I think. Again.
Like, if Randy Orton shows up in pants, all bets are off.
Yeah.
That's just going to screw everything. But either way, I'm really looking forward to this. I've very much enjoyed the interactions and the feud. And I hope they do more, because it just adds to the story between the two. I really liked what they did on Monday. I love the hide and seek stuff with Bray interacting with people backstage. And then you kind of took it back to that moment with the rocking chair, where Bray goes back to that place where Randy set the compound on fire.
Uh-huh.
What it's all about. Randy sent him back there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brought the Fiend out, was the rocking chair and the memory of all of that going on. And then Randy locks him in the box, lights it on fire, and boom, insta-Fiend. Bray just had to get his pants off.
I'm going Randy, you're going.
I'm splitting.
Brent, you figure out how to write that. 8-ball, does Bray Wyatt win on Sunday? Don't count on it. Magical Wheel of Fun, who you got?
Wrestler 1.
I believe that's Randy Orton in our list.
I haven't split all year.
I like how she has that.
No, I'm serious. I should get one.
Hey, your show.
Not my network. And that's fine. I don't want it to be my network. I don't want the headache. But anyway, I think with that, we're done.
You can go to facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork and leave your picks starting like Friday night. Saturday morning. Let's go Saturday morning. Just in case they add stuff Friday night. But I think we're done here.
I think we're done. So again, programming note, this is the last live show of 2020. Jingle All the Rack and Pop Goes the Rack will be available on their respective Thursdays. They will just be pre-recorded because we are celebrating the holidays and I don't want to be on the air not sober. So, also programming note, there will be no Fortnite with Friends on those Thursdays either. We will be live on the Saturdays with Fortnite with Friends, though.
Except for this Saturday, we're doing Among Us for the WTR Among Us Christmas party.
Tune in for that. It should be hilarious.
Followed by Steve Brito, SteveRito.com. It's this Greater and Great Debates Season 2 finale. Russell Talk Radio will be live Sunday to review TLC. We'll be live Monday for the Raw Post at 11 p.m. Eastern. We will have Jingle Iraq available next Thursday for you. We'll review TLC. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. The Rack Radio Show on all places you can get a podcast. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangle button below the screen. Support the channel by using creator code RocketSock in the Epic Game Store or the Fortnite item shop. I mean, Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is available in the Epic Game Store. Use code RocketSock to buy it. Fortnite was tonight. We're doing it tonight. If you listen to... Tonight's the final night live on Thursdays till the new year.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks it's not going to be live.
Tonight's in like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
we're going to do the shoot, bang, bang. So use code RocketSock at Fortnite item shop, hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner. There's Star Wars stuff in there now. And Dang. Walking Dead stuff.
Dang.
You go to manscaped.com right now, use code WTLF, buy anything on their store. You get saved 20% off and get free shipping for the holidays. Do the thing right now. Manscaped.com. It's the trimmer, the nose hair clippers, the ball toner, whatever you want. Go to manscaped.com. Buy the stuff.
You have to have toned balls for Christmas, guys. It's important.
Use code WTLF.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LANSWRD. Like he said, check out manscaped.com and go to mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211 and see all the awesomeness that Matt is doing over there. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and this has been The Rack. Everybody sit tight, because in just a few minutes we are going to be doing Fortnite with friends. We got to round everybody up, but if you're listening at home, thanks so much for tuning in, and well, we'll see you live in 2021. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.